But we kick off this hour talking about a story that we have covered from the onset. And that is the case of the daycare workers in Michigan who were snookered into a little union representation in a deal. The unions claimed they sent out cards to all 40,000 or so of them, and that a few of those people sent cards back, and the vast majority of those few voted to join the union. The others who don't recall getting the card, some of them have filed a lawsuit. Now, what's happened here in their representation, the state of Michigan got involved, set up an agency to oversee them, and the that agency is then skimming off money from the government payment for care of the people in the homes of these small businesses and skimming off a percentage for their union dues. So the unions involved are cashing in to the tune of millions of dollars per year by getting this money skimmed off the top before these business people who are now union members that many of them didn't even know about before they even see the money. The Mackinac Center filed a lawsuit. Its legal director, Patrick Wright, suffered a loss in the appeals court when the appeals court threw out the lawsuit without any comment whatsoever. Well, the Michigan Supreme Court, in a unanimous vote of the Michigan Supreme Court, has told the appeals court, you've got to tell these people why you made this decision. The order came down this week, and Patrick Wright, the director of the Mackinac Center Legal Foundation, is here to talk about it this morning. Hi, Patrick.
Morning, Frank.
What is the significance of what the Supreme Court did here?
Well, it means that they're interested in what we're doing. This case is, as you know, you've been covering it since it started. It's received a lot of national publicity. Almost every newspaper in the state has editorialized against this. And so I think the Michigan Supreme Court really wants to be certain that the Court of Appeals understood what was going on and shows its work. A six-word dismissal of the rights of 40,000 people and millions of dollars potentially legally going into a union is something that deserves the court's attention.
Mm-hmm. The fact that the Supreme Court ruled unanimously, a court that's been heavily divided in the past, does that say anything here?
Well, I think it says that they're all recognizing the importance of this issue, that this is something that's caught the court's attention, that they recognize has caught the national attention, state and national attention, and that it's something that needs to be fully developed and explained. If this is legal, and it's not, but if perhaps it were to be held legal, there's going to be need a full justification for it because, like I said, every single newspaper in the state has come out against it, and it is very difficult to see how this is permissible activity by a government.
Now, Patrick, as we have moved along in covering this process, it's been interesting to read that other states have done similar things. I mean, this is not just a, let's try this in Michigan and see if it works. It's been tried elsewhere first.
Yeah, what's different about with Michigan is at least those places have gone through the legislative process. Their legislatures have said this is how we want to define public employees. We're going to define it to include people who run businesses out of their home. And that's what the other lawsuit, that the lawsuit that's filed in Western Michigan by the National Right to Work Legal Defense Fund is about, is saying, hey, this isn't constitutional if you, under our federal constitution, to do this. However, in Michigan, it's even worse because what happened is it's not constitutional under our constitution because you can't define public employees this way. Governor Granholm is not allowed to define public employees whatever way she wants. There's a statute, there's a process for amending a statute, and that doesn't involve having a community college make a deal with one of your executive agencies.
Mm-hmm. And to bring in the UAW and the AFL-CIO to grab that money right off the top in many ways, not even represent these people. Do they have union meetings or anything, these daycare providers?
There have been some spotty union meetings. Some of my clients have gone just out of morbid curiosity, and there may be one or two people that will show up. The union, we call this a union, and in Michigan we're very used to the industrial model, and that is you've got your factory, you've got your workers, they all work there, and they've got a clear employer that they're organizing against, and they're looking for hours and work and wages and working conditions. That doesn't happen here. These people work out of their own home. They're the ones who set their own working conditions. If their place is dangerous, it's because it's their own house. And the union doesn't set their wages. The legislature determines how much they're going to pay for a subsidy, but the parent and the daycare provider are the ones who determine what the charge per hour per kid is going to be. So this union has nothing to do as far as what we consider to be traditional representation.
Yeah, and the people they're looking after are the kids of low-income people who get some sort of federal assistance to help them pay for the daycare. And that money is sent to the provider, the small business owner, these daycare providers, minus the amount that Michigan's skimming off of the unions.
Correct. It's about it's at least $2 million a year that the union is getting money from these people. And these are all, every dollar that the union is getting is a $1 less that can go into the program to help out parents that are trying to get from welfare to work.
Mm-hmm. Meantime, the appeals court now has to set a date to, does it have to, let me ask the question, does it have to set a date for a hearing or simply explain why it threw your case out without explanation last time around?
The Supreme Court's order only requires it to explain its reasoning. Now, it's possible that they might ask for more briefing. There's a fair amount of discretion that the court has, and the Supreme Court said, look, just take this case back and get do this correctly.
Which makes sense, because how are you supposed to appeal a decision when you don't know what the decision was based on?
There is some difficulty in that.
It's one of those, why? Because I said so. Why? But why? Because I said so. Don't you understand?
Yeah. Well, we equated it with this to the Supreme Court. We said, both you and I are at the starting blocks because the Court of Appeals gave us nothing to work with.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's that was appropriately phrased, I'll tell you that. All right, so when do you expect that you'll hear something more on this now?
Well, I'm expecting it'll probably take a couple of months. The court's going to have to determine if they're going to ask for any further briefing, and then they're going to have to circulate an opinion. And, you know, we're hopeful that they'll look at this, and when they try and write something out, that they'll recognize that this is just clearly unconstitutional.
Yeah. Did you just appear before a panel at the appeals court? Is that how that worked?
No, we filed our complaint for mandamus, and the court, we just got papers from the state. They only argued technical defenses. They didn't say these people were public employees. They just said, hey, this isn't the right cause of action at the right time. And the Court of Appeals just said this thing is dismissed without saying why.
Yeah, but was it the entire Court of Appeals that ruled, or
no? They rule in 3-person panels.
Right, that's what I meant. I thought it was a panel that did
this. Yeah, there's 28 judges on the Court of Appeals, and we had a 3-judge panel. And
will you get a different panel now, or will the same one review its work from before?
I believe it'll be the same one. I haven't checked that question out yet, Frank.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us. Keep us up to date.
Certainly appreciate it.
All right, take care. Patrick Wright of the Mackinac Center, the director of their legal foundation, here on the Beckman Show on JR.